Andrew Bradica here, and welcome to my podcast. Each week, I'll share insights and actionable advice from my blog at andrewbradica.com, all about health, fitness, and well-being. Together, we'll break down the steps to make impactful changes that truly resonate with your life, empowering you on your own unique journey. Remember, it's all about your fitness, your rules. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. This is Andrew here, and I just want to thank you so much for tuning into my podcast, or my blogcast, as I like to call it, as I will be reading my blog posts each week that I've written on my site, andrewbradica.com, and just delivering it in a different format. My post can be a little bit long, so I thought it would make sense for people to be able to listen to it in an audio form as well. Plus, it also gives me a little bit of power to be able to just, you know, riff and say what my thoughts are, tell you a little bit more about myself, and really give you more context behind each blog post that I write. So just to give you guys a quick background on me, I've been an ACSM certified personal trainer since 2012. So I've been in this game for a little bit, and yeah, I want to just allow you to really understand my philosophy when it comes to fitness and health. And I think it differentiates a little bit from, or a lot from, what I've been seeing out there. So, you know, I follow a lot of fitness people online, and I think a lot of the stuff out there is very repetitive, calories in versus calories out, all that fun stuff. And I think I wanted to take a more tailored approach of not providing you with the information specifically that you need to get in shape and to lose weight and be healthy, but more so to provide you with the knowledge so you are able to make your own actionable game plan on your own. Because the way I look at it, there's 8 billion people in this world. There's 8 billion different ways for us to be healthy. And when I mean health, I don't just mean physically, but I also mean mentally, emotionally, even spiritually. I think these things are really important. And we all bring different habits and experiences, knowledge, even beliefs in ourselves. You know, we're all, not all starting from the same starting point. So it doesn't really make much sense for us all to start with the same diet or the same just straight up plan. And there's a lot of information out there that can give just cookie cutter information. And at the end of the day, if that doesn't work for you, which it probably won't because it's not taking into your specific needs or your specific strengths and weaknesses, then it's probably not going to work. And when that happens, people tend to blame themselves, say, oh, I'm such a loser. This plan, another plan that didn't work for me, another program, another diet. At the end of the day, though, if you failed at it, you didn't fail. You just didn't find the thing that works for you. And honestly, if anyone failed, I would say it's whoever made the diet or the program for you. It didn't work, so it's not on you, it's on them. So that's really where I stand. My first article that I'm going to read is Your Fitness, Your Rules, Navigating Weight Loss in a One-Size-Fits-All World. And the reason for that is just that really is like the tagline on my site, Your Fitness, Your Rules. Like I said, it's about empowerment. It's about understanding what works for you. It's about taking your time to learn what your strengths are, your weaknesses are. You know, giving yourself a break when you fail, giving yourself a pat on the back when you succeed, and, you know, developing resilience, because a lot of us go all in. It's like an all or nothing mindset, you know, and then the second we fail, we're done. And then we just go back to our old bad habits. And resilience, when it comes down to it, it's after you fail, if it's just one day, maybe even it's a week, maybe it's a month. You know, at a certain point, turning it around and saying, no, I'm going back on track. I'm getting back there. And the more resilient you become, the easier it's going to be, because you don't need to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. And learning how not to be perfect is important. So I guess that's all I got right now. I'm going to jump into the blog post. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. So thanks a lot, everyone. Your Fitness, Your Rules, Navigating Weight Loss in a One-Size-Fits-All World by Andrew Bradica. The unexamined life is not worth living. Socrates. Whether you're trying to lose weight, get fit, or become the healthiest version of yourself, fitness experts are everywhere, and they're more than happy to tell you what to do. Want to get in shape? Do this. Don't do that. Want to lose weight? Eat this. Don't eat that. Want to have a better mindset? Think this. Don't think that. Sure, some of this information can be useful, But the amount of it out there can be overwhelming, confusing, and sometimes downright demotivating. And the worst part? As we spend precious energy filtering information, we devote less energy to listening to the person who knows us best, ourselves. It's information overload out there. People love to be told what to do. It just makes things so much easier to follow. If you want to cut out meat, learn about becoming a vegetarian or a vegan. If you want to keep eating meat but lose weight, try paleo, Atkins, or keto. What about an entire system? How about Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers? I could go on, but you get the idea. With so many options available, we now have more information than ever to get into the best shape of our lives. Yet, many find themselves further from their goals, increasingly frustrated, and giving up on themselves more often than not. So the question needs to be asked, if these one-size-fits-all solutions don't work, why are there so many of them in the first place? It's an important question, as these solutions are more prevalent now than ever. While they all have their appeal, there are two main reasons for their widespread popularity. Reason number one, they give quick results for some people. These diets have worked to a certain extent. They all aim to help people lose weight by consuming less energy than they burn. If you follow the diet, you'll lose weight. Bada bing, bada boom. Not only that, but the goal for the vast majority of people on these diets is to lose weight as fast as possible. The quick fix solution is enticing, and it always has been. You see it everywhere. 3-day juice cleanses, 4-week abs, 3-month transformations. Throughout history, there have been some crazy diets. Look up tapeworm diet. Yeah, it's what you think it is. If it kind of works, it spreads like wildfire. Let's talk about the Beverly Hills diet, for example. This was a diet back in the 80s that promised to give rapid weight loss. For the first 10 days, all you could eat was fruit. That's it. Eat fruit and you'll cleanse the body. So people started doing it, and guess what? They lost weight. All these fruit fanatics then told their friends how amazing they felt, how good they looked, and how easy it had been. Then it got on the news and thousands jumped on board. Before you knew it, all these people ate oranges and pineapples for lunch and were blown away by this genius diet. These diets catch on and people blindly follow. There are people out there who hate fruit and only eat fruit. However, it works for my neighbor and it also might work for me. This initial success story is part of the appeal. The quick, visible results are enticing. However, it's just as crucial to recognize the eventual downfall of these diets. Understanding this helps us delve into the second primary reason for their existence. Reason number two, they stop working. It makes sense. If there were one diet to rule them all, everyone would do it. Unfortunately, this isn't Middle Earth, and Sauron can't translate his ring-making abilities into an effective fat loss solution. It's a never-ending cycle. People jump on the bandwagon and give the diet all the credit when it initially works. Then, the diet stops working, because it's unsustainable to eat nothing but fucking fruit for the rest of your life. And then instead of blaming the diet, they blame themselves. Then they feel terrible, put the weight back on, and look for the next solution. Breaking the cycle, adding the missing step. So how do we fix this endless cycle of diet insanity? Let's analyze what these diets all have in common. In reality, there are only two steps to them. Step one, read the plan. Step two, take action. This sounds great. When cooking, you read the recipe, follow the instructions, toss it in the oven, and 30 to 40 minutes later, boom, it's time to eat. Sorry, it doesn't work like that regarding weight loss. Believe it or not, we're all more complex than putting together a delicious chicken pot pie for Sunday dinner. There's a missing piece of the pie, pun intended, and for the most part, fitness gurus, not all, but a ton, don't want you to know what the piece is. And without further ado, here it is. Step one, read the plan. Step two, reflect. Step three, take action. Yep, that's it. Missing piece right there. It's reflection. These solutions are designed to take all the guesswork out and rely entirely on the authority figure providing it. The less you reflect, the more likely you will jump on board with their program. Don't get me wrong, I don't think most gurus are trying to hide anything from you. They're all competing in a cluttered market, so claiming they have all the answers compared to others is an effective and necessary strategy. It's an essential part of the dieting equation, as it can shift your perspective when trying to find what works best for you. Turning reflection into action. At this point, you're probably saying, all right, I get it. I need to reflect. Real helpful. What exactly does that look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. First, taking an active rather than a passive role is critical. I like the way this diet is laid out, and the guy who wrote it seems like he knows what he is talking about, so I'll just do what he says. This is more of a passive approach. You're handing over all the power of decision-making to someone who knows nothing about you. How can I incorporate this into my life? This is a more active approach. It's taking the knowledge you can acquire from the diet and applying it to you specifically. This does take time, as there are many factors and everyone is different and unique. To help, here are five factors to consider when evaluating a diet or a fitness program. 1. Personal goals. Ask yourself, is this aligned with my health and fitness goals? You might want to consider other options when a program promises fast results, such as 30-day transformations, but your goal is long-term sustainable health. 2. Past experiences. Ask yourself, what have I learned from my previous attempts at dieting or fitness routines, and how do I apply that learning to my current decision? If rigid diets have been a problem for you and the plan includes strict meal plans, you may find that an alternative that offers more flexibility is more beneficial. 3. Enjoyment. Ask yourself, will this plan include activities and foods I enjoy, and will I be able to stick with it? It might not be a good fit if it includes activities you dislike or eliminates foods you enjoy. 4. Lifestyle compatibility. Ask yourself, how well does this plan fit into my daily life, considering my schedule, responsibilities, and current habits? Looking for an alternative plan may be best if it demands more time than you can realistically commit due to work or family obligations. 5. Sustainability. Ask yourself, can I follow this plan long-term, and does it promote a sustainable approach to health and fitness? A more balanced and realistic approach would likely serve you better if the approach feels too extreme or unsustainable. These steps can address your specific needs while picking and choosing what best applies to you. Learning from experts can be extremely helpful, and I advise you to consider advice from different sources. Doing so allows you to develop your unique standpoint tailored specifically for you. Your fitness, your rules. When you start developing your viewpoint, something very cool happens. You begin to think more deeply. You'll start to think about what you like, what you don't like, and how it applies to you. Naturally, this will boost your confidence as you develop your own opinion on the matter. You'll appreciate the complexities of health and fitness and take more ownership over the process. If you're following someone else's game plan, it's theirs. If you're following your own, it's yours. Socrates famously stated, "The unexamined life is not worth living." This holds in fitness as much as in life. It's crucial to honestly assess your strengths, weaknesses, motivations, and external factors. This introspection is challenging, but it's essential for meaningful progress. Taking ownership. The fact that these diets don't work isn't the worst part. The worst part is that people blame themselves when they don't work. How could they not? As we've established, the people these diets work for speak so loudly and proudly, when it turns for the worst, it's crickets. Since you're only exposed to the diet's success, it's easy to internalize that you're the problem. Think about it this way. How can you be the problem if it's not even your plan in the first place? You're not. Not even close. With that said, embracing your role in your health journey is crucial. It might be daunting to sit with your thoughts and reflect on who you are and what you really need. Following a plan made by someone else can seem like a safe choice because if it doesn't work, it's not on you. Ultimately, listening to your body, understanding your unique needs, and making choices based on your goals are the keys to real progress. The journey to health isn't about rigidly following someone else's blueprint. It's about creating a path that works for you, blending ideas from various sources, and developing your own methods. Yes, taking full responsibility means owning up to it if things don't work out. But this also empowers you to adjust, learn, and grow. In the end, you are your best health advocate. Your health journey is yours to shape, and every step, even the missteps, is a part of your learning process. Remember that, even the missteps. My challenge to you. Each week, I'm going to give you a personal challenge related to my writing to apply to your life. In this week's challenge, I'd like you to reflect on a time in your life when you trusted an authority figure and let them take the wheel when, in fact, you would have benefited more from trusting yourself instead. Any aspect of your life can apply to this, whether it's fitness related or not. It could be making a career move based on someone else's opinion, judging someone you don't know based on rumors, investing in a hot stock, or making any other decision without considering it carefully. When reflecting, here are some questions to ask yourself. Is this decision in line with my core values and belief, or did an authority figure's perspective influence it? What was my initial instinct about the decision? Did I overlook my gut feeling in favor of the advice? Was this decision positive or negative for me? Do I have any regrets, or am I satisfied with the outcome? As a result of my experiences, what important lessons did I learn, and how have they influenced how I make decisions since then? In future decisions, how can I balance external advice with my intuition? Key takeaways. Prioritize introspection and personal reflection to tailor a sustainable fitness strategy. Recognize the temporary nature of quick fix diets and the importance of a long-term view. reflect on personal goals, past experiences, and lifestyle to customize your fitness plan. Gain empowerment by actively shaping a fitness routine that resonates with your preferences. Embrace continuous self-reflection to adapt and evolve your approach for lasting health and success. That's it for the post, guys. I hope you really enjoyed it this week. If you did, please feel free to visit my website, andrewbradica.com. Subscribe to my newsletter. A couple of freebies that come along with that will get sent right to your inbox. And that list of freebies is going to be continuing to grow and get weekly updates from me in your inbox. So thanks a lot, everyone, and I hope you have a good week.